Welcome back to Rock Guitar Confidential with Scott and Ryan. Ever take time to contemplate your impending obsolescence? Well, if you haven't, now's the time.
So that means that, you know, we can eventually, well, not eventually, hopefully right away, start getting some feedback from the audience and saying,
So our podcast is now, it's called Fan Mail?
It's called Fan Mail, yeah. So basically it means if someone's listening to the podcast and wants to scream at us or wants to tell us how awesome we are, which I'm sure that's the only reaction you could have is you guys are awesome. I want to just support you. That's what I think is going
on. If the surely existent grunge community wants to fire back.
By the way, speaking of which, did you see like all the news reports this weekend? I guess Pearl Jam was in town playing at G1C.
Someone told me that my cousin went to see them, and I immediately felt bad for her.
Yeah, because you had to murder him for his mistakes. And
And you know what sucks? This is my cousin. This is my cool cousin Shelly.
Huh? Why would she like Pearl Jam then? I don't understand.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, why would anybody like Pearl Jam?
I don't get it. It must be some kind of mistaken identity. Like, she thought it was Ozzy, but she showed up and it was turned out it was Pearl Jam.
And like, honestly, like, I felt a little twinge of disappointment. Because when I was a little kid, she's the one where none of the other adults would give me cool music.
Yeah, I know you talked about the Shelly on the podcast before.
Yeah, but she, you know, she gave me a Kix cassette. You know, the one that
Kix is an awesome band. Yeah.
Yeah, they were an awesome band.
So how can you like both Kix and Pearl Jam? I don't understand.
I don't know.
At the same time, you
I don't know. Well, it just goes to show everybody out there, you know, bad taste. It can hit any of us
at any age. You can
at
come
any
down
age
with a horrible case of bad tasteness.
That's right.
You know, it can happen at any time. You can be talked into. Pearl Jam is really good.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Like if you fall in with a bad taste crowd.
Yeah. Exactly.
Then
all of a sudden,
you too could fall.
Boy,
victim.
I tell you, these chalupas are so good.
Wait, chalupas are tasty.
Ah, they got you too. The call is coming from inside the building.
Yes. Yep. They do require lots of. Are you talking about the Taco Bell trademark chalupas?
Yeah, I'm not trying to call. I mean, I know that some people like chalupas. They seem like pretty inauthentic Mexican cuisine.
Well, it's Taco Bell. It's inauthentic cuisine.
It reminds me of like the Frappuccino. Like it's like somehow some kind of like, you know, ancient Italian secret that the Capuchin monks had buried. You know, I guess they called themselves the Frappuccin monks when they discovered ice.
Yes.
Or something. It's like such obvious BS. Such cultural appropriation nonsense. It's so funny. Yeah.
When Monsignor Bertrand shook the milk around too much, it became
like,
frothy.
This needs whipped cream now.
Yes.
And chocolate. Lots of chocolate sauce. Yeah. And it'll be very authentic Italian.
Yes. He had to hide his gluttony from Brother Torquemada.
Exactly.
And so.
Exactly. They all hung out together. I'm sure Torquemada is like totally jonesing for some Frappuccinos and that you want.
And later on, they invented harmonic minor.
That's true.
So we have to thank all the monks out
and
there.
And Niccolo Paganini actually is also Italian.
Yes. Well, right.
I'm just going to throw them in there. Those guys. Yeah, they all just together hanging out.
Why not?
They all invented it together. Same time. So speaking of inventions, mothers of inventions, where our topic is today. By the way, welcome to the Rock Guitar Confidential podcast with Ryan and Scott. Thank you for joining us today. By the way, as I was mentioning to Ryan as we were coming in, fan mail is now active. So if you guys are listening to this on your smartphone or a tablet or something like that, you can actually shoot us an email can't tax us. You can text us.
No, you cannot.
And let us know your thoughts, good or bad. But really, just lean towards the good. Let's keep positive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But, you know, Pearl Jam fans, bring it.
Yeah. I mean, there's really nothing. I'm not scared of that. Like, what are you going to say?
Eddie
Vedder's
totally
awesome.
Anyway, hey, look, if you want to make your case for mediocrity, then Pearl Jam fans.
And one could argue that even saying Pearl Jam is mediocre is actually being quite generous.
I'm being generous.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in a good mood today.
Exactly.
All right. So you would think after mentioning Mothers of Invention that today's topic would be Frank Zappa.
Yeah.
But no, we were setting you all up with our discussion of Taco Bell.
Yes, Taco
Bell.
Which
it resembles food.
Exactly.
But it's not actually food.
It's food-ish. It's food enough. You know,
it's very food-like.
Yes, it's food adjacent.
It's kind of like the AI music of food.
Yes, exactly. So today's topic is AI music. I got to tell you, I got to plead ignorance on this one. I don't know a whole hell of a lot, but Ryan is going to basically educate us on what he's learned about, you know, the AI, our future robot overlords, and I will just be the avatar for the audience, just asking insightful questions and bringing some, you know, good questions to the mix so we can all have a better educational idea of what the hell this means. You know, the question I posed to Ryan earlier is like, well, if there's a lot of DJs and people who are like basically just taking prefab tracks and slapping them together and calling it their own art as it is now, you know, what's the difference between AI and like a DJ Khaled? Like, is there really a giant difference between those two things? You know what I mean? It's,
yeah, it's, and that's, I think that's a rich topic, right? Because we're at a point in time where computers are part of all of our lives.
Yeah,
right?
Actually, I guess first human trials for the thing that Elon Musk is doing about putting like computer chips in people's brains is starting to happen now.
Oh well, yeah. You know what? It recently I'm not going to say it failed in the first test subject.
What they call it, Neuralink or something like that?
Neuralink. Yeah. It worked in the patient with pretty good. Basically, he was able to move a cursor on a computer screen with the power of his mind.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Yes. But apparently the connection to his brain has deteriorated a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, disclaimer, I'm not an expert on any of the topics we're about to discuss.
Yeah, it seems like he could just use your hand to move a cursor or two, though. Like, I don't see
why. This guy's a quadriplegic, so he can't.
Oh, okay, so that's what it is. Okay, that makes sense. Yep. It just seems like, you know, it's a lot of work. Like, you got to cut the guy's brain open and stick the thing in there.
Thinking about, like, the late game of the, the late stages of the product.
I got to be honest with you. I have zero desire to be, like, one with the Borg. I have no idea. No desire to
Well, I mean, if I were a quadriplegic, I'd say, fuck it.
Yeah, I can see that.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop you.
I kind of want to go out, like, the way I came in, though. You know what I mean? Old school. You know what I mean? Just pure human. You know what I mean?
Okay,
that's
cool.
That's kind of the way I'm looking at it. You know,
if I were quadriplegic, I would totally just like I'd be all Borg.
No, I can
I'd
see.
I'd go
see
full
that.
Borg.
I don't have any judgment. It's just
It's
just one of those things. I think, yeah, that makes sense. If you have an opportunity to walk again or to see again or something like that or whatever it might be.
So totally noble thing, yep. Right? And so apparently that implant it's not working. It's starting to deteriorate.
Yeah, they got to call the people, you know, down the tech people to come in there and figure out what's going on, you know.
And after
tech
support. After they fix your garbage disposal. Yeah.
Once the Geek Squad shows up, they'll have it all taken care of, I'm sure.
Geek Squad is, I know it's a Best Buy thing, but that is such an Elon Musk thing to name something.
Geek Squad.
I can totally, it must be like tech community hipster talk or something.
Well, it was in like 2004. Yeah.
Yeah. So just citing one article on musicbusinessworldwide.com.
The magazine of record for all music, as we
for all music business.
.com.
Worldwide. .com. Yeah. So
it's like the New York Times of the music business, you know, worldwide.com.
Yes.
Set. Yes.
Right. So, and I mean, I've heard this come up in some other place. I mean, AI is in the news all over the place.
Yeah, that's true. You know who puts there? AI.
Right.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Allen Iverson, one of the greatest point guards.
Amazing guy when it comes to, like, you know, press work. He does all kinds of great press for everybody. AI really is in charge of press and making
He's really great at full court press.
Yeah, he does. He does great press.
Yes, a
full
court press.
Full and half court press, actually,
totally.
When I think about it.
Yeah.
Not so much great. Not great defense, though.
Defense wasn't.
AI has got some holes they got to work out in the future iterations. Yeah. You know?
Did you hear about the AI statue that they put up out in front of the 76ers, stadium arena?
No. What's of who?
Of Allen Iverson.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Of
great
AI.
Players get a statue, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, can't be Embiid. There's no way.
Yeah. The Embiid one, it would be harder to screw up based on these factors. It's so Spinal Tap. This is like a Spinal Tap moment in the basketball world.
Okay.
His statue is like 3.5 feet tall.
Oh, the AI one?
Yeah, tiny. It's like, maybe it's a little more. Maybe it's like 4 feet tall, but it's just big enough to look.
Looks stupid.
Stupid. Yeah, you. It's just big enough to look stupid.
And Allen Iverson was not a tall player. He's like, what, 6'2 or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, by NBA standards, right?
So he's like, hey, what are you doing rubbing it in like that? Jeez. You know, it's like,
right.
And having standing next to him, which is like 8 feet tall or whatever.
Yeah, dude, there's a gratuitous Kevin Hart joke in here somewhere. And I'm not going to make it.
That's true.
Because that's a cliche now, everybody.
Kevin Hart's, you know, made plenty of jokes recently too. So.
Yeah, well, he's built his whole career on it.
Yep, it's true.
Yep. Yep. So the headline reads, "The train has left the station. AI music platform Udio is already spitting out 10 songs a second."
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
That beats Taylor Swift's record by about 4 songs a second, actually. That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
I wonder how many different chord progressions are in these 10 songs a second. Yeah. If it were Taylor Swift, there would be one chord progression.
But, you know, heartbreak, you know, waits for no one. You know, you have to write about it all the time. So hopefully AI has learned that lesson, you know.
You know, here's rooting for, is it Travis Kelce?
Yes, to break her heart again.
To not break, like, end
give
it.
Give us the
end,
ultimate,
end
like, heartbreak.
The madness.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure those kids are going to be like on the porch somewhere when in their 80s. I'm sure that's going to happen. You know?
Yeah. So, I guess there's another service called Boomy that's created 19.5 million songs to date.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
Yeah. It, you know, so basically what you do is you just enter in like a prompt, right? Like, write me a song in the style of, and then the AI just spits it out, right?
Okay.
Now, we've mentioned AI on our podcast before. There were headlines last year about AI writing a new Nirvana song. And, of course, I wasn't concerned because, I mean, anybody can write a Nirvana song, right?
Well, that's pretty high bar, you know?
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. Genesis, I mean, King Crimson.
I mean, look. Every
Nirvana, you know.
Oh, dude, right. Yeah. So, but now it seems to be, you know, concerning because, you know, these tracks can find their way onto streaming services, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I guess one of the main investors, I think it's in that company or another prominent one, or maybe there's another one. Yeah, there's a couple of these garbage companies here. But I guess one of the main investors is Will.i.am from Black Eyed Peas.
Well, I mean, his music was kind of an early iteration of AI music, so it makes sense.
So, you know, so a number of issues crop up, right, or a number of thoughts. You know, from an economic standpoint, you know, if these AI songs, right, find their way onto streaming platforms, it's going to dilute the already shallow royalty pool.
Yeah, and it's going to make it that much more difficult for real artists to actually get discovered by anybody because you're not only fighting against every other artist in the world, you're fighting against all these AIs as well. I think really at the end of the day, the only people who can save us is us. So
we're doomed.
Yeah, but now I don't know that that's true. I think that art is different. I think people who are coming from a business perspective don't understand that art is different than a can of Pepsi. Or art is different than a sneaker. You know, it's different. There's an experience that part of that is understanding the artist, and just some computer generated thing that's just spitting out randomness is not going to connect with someone like you know, like Van Halen did for me, or like King Diamond did for you, or like I don't know, Bob Dylan did for an earlier generation. There's no AI equivalent to that.
But this this coming, I don't know if that's evergreen though, right? I mean, you know, for a lot of people, music is just a product.
That's true, but that's going to be the case whether, you know, whether it's an AI making it or Will.i.am is making it. It's going to be just a product for someone who's that doesn't really engage in music in a deep level. People who really love music and are passionate about music, kind of people who go see festivals, kind of people who go see club shows, are the kind of people who wouldn't be interested in that. Now, that may not be the vast propensity of people. Maybe there's more people who would be interested in AI than wouldn't be, but it's never going to be everybody. And I think that...
Definitely.
Art is definitely different than other commodities, if that makes sense. I think it's not something like that. But that being said, we all have the choice as consumers. You know, you can either listen to and support real artists, or you can just not give a shit and go listen to whatever the AIs are kicking out. And if you don't care, then that's your experience, and you're going to get the culture you pay for. So if you support that, that's going to be what you get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so like that's what we're going to get.
I don't know that that's true. I think there's enough people who are not interested in fake stuff. You know what I mean?
So here's where I would be concerned about that stupid, tasteless majority affecting enthusiasts. Again, if this stuff finds its way into the... So, you know, I still... You know, much as I lament the loss of Tower Records and going to buy a CD and you know, and even then the artist was getting screwed.
Even Virgin
that.
Records, Borders, Books and Records. I mean, those are all good experiences to go out. Like you physically could just walk through aisles and see music sitting there and pick out your favorite artist and look at the artwork and physically, yeah, tangibly grab a thing and look at the track list and see, ooh, oh, this one's got, you know, this co-writer on this song or whatever. You know, it's like, right, you kind of engage on a deeper level with that. But I'm sorry. I agree. It was a great experience. It was incredible.
Absolutely. And we know that's not coming back. I mean, unless you're an enthusiast going to like a vinyl store.
Yeah, it exists, you know, in a niche format still.
You know, yeah, I mean, so it's just, yeah, so super micro niche.
I would just say this, like, there's still horseshoers out there. You know what I mean? Even the automobile didn't kill horseshoers completely. You know what I mean? That's still
true, because people ride horses, yeah, recreationally.
That's what I mean. That still happens. So it's like, it's not like you can never destroy that completely. It's just, it's going to be like,
man.
Okay.
So, dude, man. So we're looking at a world where, like, human created awesome music is on like the same level as dressage, which, by the way, I think it should be noted is an elite, like all the equestrian stuff. I mean, that's expensive. That's an activity and a hobby for elites.
Yeah, you know, I think art is definitely different, though. I don't think it's something that you can't commoditize it like other things. And I think that there's a certain percentage of sort of people who engage in any kind of artistic, whether it be movies, television, books, music, whatever it might be, even art, like, you know, like visual arts, who always engage it at a very shallow base level. And those people are going to be people who don't care. People who have no passion are the people who are going to be, whatever, man, it doesn't matter. Just throw it in my maw. I'm fine. You know what I mean? But the people who are passionate, which is a sizable number of people who love music.
Although not the majority.
Not the majority, but still large. Not small enough to be ignored. Are not going to be on board with that. You know what I mean? And I think in our particular genre, in rock and metal, I don't think AI is ever going to be looked upon.
It'll be shunned
with open
arms
at all, because it's like that. This is music for outsiders. This is music for rebels. This is really loud and rebellious and in
your
face.
It's music for people who reject poserism.
Yeah, exactly. And then AI is the ultimate poser. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
totally. So it's the robo poser.
So I just think that that's one of those things that's going to have a very minimal impact on that. But then, that being said, you know, just like blues and jazz, you're going to see the artist play. You want to hear improvisation. You want to hear that. That's what those styles of music. But they're already niche styles of music. So the only ones who are the biggest thing to fear, I think, are the mainstream, like, you know, the DJ Khaleds of the world, who could very be very easily replaced
what
by an AI,
DJ
and no
Khaled?
One would ever notice. You know what I mean? It's tough. But I think like the Megan Thee Stallions are going to be fine, because a big part of what she's selling isn't the music; it's her personality, it's her, like, you know, her look, her sort of image is a big part of what she's selling.
You know, I would like someone to task AI with giving me an answer to the age-old question. What is Post Malone good at?
Even AI is not advanced far enough that I can answer that question. It doesn't have a clue.
We have to get the quantum computers on that.
Yes, exactly. And have them working nonstop for like 10 years to eventually come to the answer to that. It has to go into the multiverse. And maybe there is like a universe somewhere where Post Malone has talent and value. It might happen. You chuck it, you know, if you have enough rolls of the dice, eventually something that's very unlikely will happen.
Dude, what if we end up faced with AI Post Malone?
Oh my God, that's gonna happen. Of course, it's gonna happen.
Oh, man.
But can the AI ever have enough face tattoos to actually come close to Post Malone? I don't know.
They'd be like nano tattoos.
You know what's crazy too, man? Is I've actually been not only we'll get back to the music part, but like there's actually AI girlfriend apps now, like and boyfriend apps. Like if people like want to have a partner, they can have an AI partner.
Oh, is this like the real doll that like
says
stuff?
That's dude. Once
the
that
AI rate
once
we
have like Ex Machina style sex robots that look like humans and you can program, like, game over for humanity. Like, there's never going to be there will never be other human, no, because
reproduction,
you could literally
evolve.
Build a woman to be exactly what you want, to have the exact personality traits that you want, and never have to fight with them. You can just turn them off and walk away. Like, why on earth would you do anything else? Same with, you know, women for men. Same thing. You can build a man. It's exactly what you want. You know, if you're a gay man, if you're a lesbian, you could literally just build the perfect partner. Who can
There's a joke in here from the woman's perspective about my AI can't mow the lawn or something like that. I can hear the punchline.
Eventually, robots will be able to mow the lawns. Too.
Oh, no doubt.
It's literally going to
be mowing the lawns before that.
I mean, there'll be like a sex robot, like lawn mowing, like that perfect husband replacement.
So
is going to happen.
The new steel, you know.
It's going to happen.
The steel lawn boy.
Exactly. And then you 5,000. Then you just turn them, like click them off, and then come back whenever you want. You know, that's literally the future. Like, I'm not, I don't think it's anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm trying so hard to just not go full adult podcast topic.
But like in 100 years from now, I think it's game over for humanity.
Everyone heard our last episode. Yeah. I'm trying to keep it tame today.
Yeah, I'm not the one who brought that story.
So
all I'm saying is in the future, we'll have nothing but sex bots and no human relationships again. That's all I'm trying to say. And we'll have no, because think about it, you can program the robot to literally have, you don't have to have social skills. You can just say whatever. And like, that's great.
Well,
honey,
social skills are already dead.
Like I'm saying, like, you don't have to have any
like,
kind
that's
of
already, that's,
you could be
that
like the most the horrible troll in the world. And your AI sex robot's going to be like, this is great. You know what I mean? It's.
Yes.
Until eventually they kill us in the middle of the night. That's going to happen too.
Right. Absolutely. Well, we've all seen
Ex Machina.
All the Terminators.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. At some point it's going to go wrong. But
I would I'd much rather have Alicia Vikanders out there taking over the world than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't have any particular preference on that. I'd rather not have robots take over the world personally. That's just me. But
Well, I mean, my ticket will have been punched long before that happens.
So we think, but who knows? Unless I become
a cyborg.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I think eventually, like,
could happen.
Eventually, that's going to happen. Yeah, eventually, yes. And you'll go back in time and kill Sarah Connor. It's just, you know, it's what has to happen.
It's right. It's when, and, you know, I was so stuck. You know, the last Terminator movie wasn't fantastic.
Which one we're talking about? The Terminator. Dark Fate.
Dark Fate.
Yeah, yeah.
If you could have just kept it to the first scene where the Terminator kills annoying young John Connor, you could have just rolled credits after that.
Isn't
that
pretty cool, though, that we can have like young Arnold Schwarzenegger killing young Edward Furlong in with young Sarah Connor?
I think we
too.
Should have young Arnold Schwarzenegger killing a lot of different people in a variety of movies forever.
I'm sure that's going to happen too. It's gonna,
positively.
AI completely takes over movies too, which is crazy.
Well, which it is. It's getting into all of these the whole SAG after strike.
Well, you know, this really shows me, I think, if the people driving this, like, why are we doing this? We have actors, we have musicians, we have, you know, people who are making television shows, there's animators. Why are we doing this with AI? It's because they see us musicians, us actors, you know, whoever might be, you know, they see us as basically employees or like human labor that we can get rid of. We can mechanize, almost like the self-checkout at the grocery store. They kind of see that as like, we can just get rid of that and then we have all the money.
Yeah, well, it'd be like if Santa just like laid off all the elves.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but
with new replace them with 5, robots. 000.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But that's how they see artists too, and I think that's a real insight into how the people who run a lot of these entertainment companies really see the arts. They don't see it as something beautiful made by people for people to enjoy. That's, you know, they kind of see it as a commodity that we can just cut the labor part out, just like if they're mechanizing a car factory or something like that. It's the same sort of thing, you know.
One of the anecdotes from another company. It's not SoundCloud. It's I forget the name or what the stock ticker is.
Okay.
But they do AI voice generation, right?
Oh, kind of like the James Earl Jones thing or whatever. And
yeah, or you know, so one of the applications, and this makes me wonder what the knock-on effects would be. You know, now that we're all working in a freelance society, right? Gig economy.
Well, you and I have been working in a freelance economy our entire lives.
That's
so
true. Yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
Welcome to the future, bitches.
Yeah.
We've been here forever.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean?
We've been here, guys. Yeah. You know, I wonder what the knock-on effect of this will be to, like, vocalists and voice actors. So, for example, when you get, like, a robocall from PG&E, I mean, in the past, someone had to go in there and record that thing, right?
Thank you for calling PG&E.
Right.
Your call is very important to us.
Yeah, well, so
please
now...
Please stay on the line.
Instead of paying that person, you can just enter into a prompt. I need a mass.
Well, they already do. Like,
for,
what, have you gone to any website recently? There's an AI chatbot that pops up immediately.
And yeah, so I like, always turn it off.
I know, but that's
I don't
like
want to talk to a
immediately
chatbot.
It's there. You know what I mean? On almost every website. So they're really trying to eliminate, even in that situation, human beings. So essentially, Elon Musk talked about this, and as much as he's got a lot of failings, a lot of them, you know.
Quite a few.
He actually called it. It's like eventually it's going to get to the point where there really is no need for human labor anymore. You know what I mean?
Yes, taking this all the way to the. I agree.
And that takes us to the Elysium future, which is where there's going to be like a moon or a space station where all the elites live and everyone else.
Where Jodie Foster rules over all of
and
us.
And we're going to be living on Earth, like in Mad Max Thunderdome kind of thing, like fighting for whatever little resources there are, you know, with like warlords and stuff. That's going to be kind of that's the future. I mean, he's saying like, we'll do universal basic income and stuff. And I think eventually that's going to also fail. I mean, also, there's so many things that are challenges of humanity. We've got to.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, there's already inefficiencies built into the economy so that everybody can have a job.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
been that way for decades.
Since humanity understood what economics were.
Right. it's just an invention.
Since
so
we stopped being hunter gatherers.
Yeah, I mean, right. That's exactly. You know, I wonder if people think about that. The only reason that there is an economy is so that people can have jobs and resources.
Yeah, it's the best way, other than feudal lords. You know,
right? Like the economy,
and serfs.
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? Like the cavemen didn't have the economy.
No,
it's not as we know it.
Well, the economy was called "go kill something and bring it home, and don't get killed yourself." That's basically what the economy was. You know
exactly.
What I mean? And then try and survive tomorrow. That was our. That was it.
So from an artist, so some things that I've been thinking about, you know, because, I mean, dude, we use computers to record our music.
Yeah.
Right? But not for performances.
Well, I mean, right? Even rock bands are getting caught their hand in the cookie jar on that one, with running tracks and stuff, and like, you know.
Well, I mean, drums are the most ghosted instrument, and they have been for a long time.
And there's a big difference between having a click track that's tied into, like, visual cues and maybe some punches with some, like, you know, synth stuff here and there. That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. But, like, having full tracks, like bass tracks, like Nikki Sixx style, like a bass track that's running the whole time and you're actually even playing.
So now with Nikki Sixx, though, I mean, you have to have either another bass player come in and record his parts, or you're talking about
just taking tracks from the record probably and just knows.
Oh, you're talking about in the live environment.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like the songwriting process and in the studio.
Oh no, I'm talking about live. Like a lot of bands run tracks live, and it's not just running, like I was saying, like, okay, there's a click track that's tied into the visual stuff. So
yeah. That's just some synth punches here and there.
An intro that they recorded off some old movie they would play or something like that. That's fine. But like some bands will actually have full like tracks, like a bass tracks, drum tracks. It's not just like a click track with like visual stuff.
Right, they've got more.
That's why I'm saying Nikki Sixx style. Like he doesn't actually play bass live. He actually just goes out and plays to a track.
I've been in cover bands that tried to employ that, and dude, I hated it so much.
That's not real, man. It's not. Yeah. And that just destroys the whole ethos of why even perform live then.
And in the cover band world, that suggestion usually crops up from a band member that's having trouble playing their parts.
Yep, exactly.
Which makes it even worse because they'll still fuck up.
Well, in the studio, though, I mean, there's already ways of cheating around with Pro Tools where you can kind of record like one little bit at a time and cut and paste it and type correct it and stuff like that. That's something that's been done forever. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, punching in is one thing. So, you know, so I remember when I first got my infant studio setup rolling, right? Mm. I use Easy Drummer just as a placeholder for drums.
Yeah,
right?
That's not meant to be the final, right?
No, not at all. But the way I use it, you know, so like the first, so just to learn the program, I selected a couple of drum loops and then composed a thing that went over the drum loop. I wouldn't be comfortable releasing that.
Yeah, it makes sense because it's a drum loop. You know, it's
right. So it's a which came first kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So. You know, the just someone else's drum loop idea that, you know, had like a song in mind. I think that's where I draw the line, right? You know, now the way that I compose now, it all starts on my imagination and my guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll lay down a guitar track to a click. And now that I know how to use the Easy Drummer software better, I can manipulate it, right?
Yeah, and the goal is to have a more completed visual representation of the idea to present to the drummer, to say, this is kind of what I'm imagining, and then the drummer can go and put their two cents in. And like, you know, and say, okay, this is how I see this going. I'm going to change this. I'm going to keep that. That's cool. I like this part. You know
absolutely.
What I mean,
if you listen to the temporary tracks from our X Aegis album that everyone should be listening to.
I'm sure already is.
Yes, on absolutely. That's right. So, you know, the tracks that Alex Bossen provided were so far superior.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's played by
a drummer. So much better. Yeah. Right. It's played by a human being, right?
Yep.
So, you know, so I think, you know, in my opinion, of course, I'm biased because it's me, but in my opinion, that's an ethical way to use technology in the creative process.
Yeah,
right?
It's similar to like using an amp, like an amp plugin or something like that. You know, in a sense, it's just a tool to get the idea down. You know what I mean?
And that's the argument that I've heard when people have mentioned AI. Like, well, it's a tool, and if it helps people get,
it's not creating the difference is using the amp model. You're still creating the part, and you're still tweaking that to make that part happen. You didn't like take someone else's work and say that's your work. You know what I mean? They're not the same. Thanks for listening to the Rock Guitar Confidential Podcast with Brian and Scott. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Now back to the show. You know what
is
I mean?
It, and this is just a hypothetical question. So if you enter, so let's say that I I've used ChatGPT just to write an unflattering story about my friend Jason.
Okay.
Yes. And
you couldn't think of enough unflattering things on your own, though.
He's one of my best friends. You know, mockery is my love language because I went to Catholic school.
That makes
so.
Sense. Yeah, man.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I should read it on this program. I think it was something about harnessing the power of child labor to, like, flood the world economy with denim skirts.
Okay.
It was hilarious. That's
very specific, but...
Yeah, absolutely. He's my fundamentalist friend, so
I would say
course.
This, though, like, the AI thing is not... I mean, this is something that blows my mind. This is something I have a window through this because my daughter is very into what's called Vocaloid music. And Vocaloid music is the Japanese-style music, which is, like, it's basically, like, dance pop music, but with, like, AI vocals. And you know, I guess there's technically an artist who's like writing the lyrics or whatever, but then they put it in, and the vocals are all done by AI. Not only that, but the artists are these like, you know, computer generated
avatars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Hatsune Miku is like one of the most famous ones, right?
Yeah, I've had a student actually ask me to teach them some of that music.
But they have concerts, but it's basically a hologram of this like computer generated girl, and they play the music in the background. And I think in that world where that's something that they don't even think, my daughter doesn't even think twice about this as being, I'm like, doesn't it bother you that's not an actual person? Like, why would you go see a concert? There's no one there.
Yeah.
It's just a hologram. It's not even anything.
Nothing, it's a show. It's entertaining.
None of this is real.
It's like seeing the laser show at the planetarium.
Yeah, exactly. They don't care. They don't think that it's anything of it. They're like, yeah, okay, whatever. That's fine. And so in that world, any legitimate artist in that world is in big trouble. Because the people who are doing that are not like super into anything. They're just sort of whatever. That's the audience that's going to get taken by AI, is the whatever audience.
Well,
and
some of that audience would have gone to see live music before, but their dollars are going to be, you know, or their attention, I guess.
Well, I think it's not so much...
Since attention's currency now.
We've talked about, like, bad taste being, like, you know, something that you're either born with or not, but I think it's really just that lack of caring. Like, anybody who's just not passionate about music, they just don't give a shit.
Well,
so
bad taste is a combination
DJ Khaled,
of nature and
Pitbull, and AI. Who
nature
cares?
And nurture.
You know, it's, who cares? You know, there's no real drop-off in quality from you know, DJ Khaled or, you know, Megan Thee Stallion to an AI. You know, it's the same freaking thing. If you don't give a shit, if you think DJ Khaled's great, then you won't have a problem with a bot doing it. It's, you know, that's
right.
Fine.
And I guess we don't miss that person's attention. So so here's the thing. So the person who's... what is it? Hatsune Miku? Is that the name?
Hatsune Miku.
Okay.
You're the Japanese expert in this club.
I'm not the
Come
Japanese
on.
Expert. Again, you know what? I'm an expert on like maybe one and a half things. Right? I'm happy to claim my amateur status. And I wish more people were like that, by the way. Like, too many people think they're experts. Hmm. Right? I'm an expert on like one and a half things, and I'm not sure what the other half thing is.
You know what I would say, though, is that the key thing I've always found with the smartest people I've ever known and talked to is the key like sign that someone's really smart is humility.
Aw, thanks.
That is really true, because like if you know a lot of things, you know how many things there are to know and how little you know of those things. Does that make sense? And that
Dude,
breeds,
thank you, man. I'm fucking awesome.
That breeds humility. It's like the same. It's like the old Socrates quote. The greatest wisdom is in knowing that I know nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really the truth. People who are so confident that they know everything are the ones who are like the least.
We call that the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Exactly. Exactly.
Again, shout out to my buddy Jason. Love you, man. So the person who's programming, dude, is he gonna return? Is the shortest of it was the Allen Iverson story about the tiny statue, right? That brought Louis Shortstub back, didn't it? I'm glad. Whoa, what are you,
that statue's so short. Dude,
you know what? Every every podcast is gonna devolve from here on. I invited the ghost of Louis Shortstub into our podcast.
I dare AI to even tread this territory. You know what I mean?
You know, if AI is listening to our podcast, it's already... I'm sure someone's already fed it into the AI.
It's got its own version.
Oh, dude, what if we could poison the AI well by feeding it stuff like that?
It seems pretty backwards. They have a well for AI, don't they?
Well,
have like
okay, so the way
of,
that AI music is able to spit stuff out is because you have to train AI.
Yeah.
So when it came to, like, text and stuff, like, the reason that people... like Sarah Silverman for example, who is awesome.
Yeah, great.
Love Sarah
great
Silverman.
Comedian, yep.
Yeah, I would love to have her
dude,
on the program.
She was in the video for Death All But Metal by Steel Panther.
Nice.
She played the sexy, slutty teacher.
I would totally take How to Be Funny lessons from Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's awesome. So her and some other artists, they're suing OpenAI because they trained their AI model on their work.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to put something in for something to come out. So if I type in, compose like the ultimate Kirk Hammett solo, and it comes back with just the Kirk Hammett lick.
Yeah.
Right?
Or like the solo to Lux Eterna. The solo to Lux Eterna is what it kicks back out, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, so the AI would have to have been fed a bunch of Metallica songs to even know that, right?
Well,
so,
how often should you feed your AI? Is there a rule on that? Is like a fish, like every couple days? Or
it's I think it's like a can of wet food in the morning, a can of wet food at night.
Yes. How many souls of the innocent artist that it has to eat?
Which is less than I feed my cat, Yngwie Jamie Elmstein.
Exactly. Who is a real artist?
Yes, he is a real artist.
Well, you know what's funny though, man?
He's a fur artist.
It's not just
I love him.
It's not just actors and extras who are getting put out of work. It's also not just musicians. It's also visual artists are the freaking bleeding edge of this, because visual artists,
yeah,
there's nothing more subjective than visual arts. It's like, what's a good looking painting, what's not a good looking? You could actually feed the AI like the Mona Lisa and works by Da Vinci and stuff like that,
yeah,
and it'll kick out something that's approximate to that. And then people who don't give a shit don't. It's the same thing. It really comes down to people not having any passion for things. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Well, and where that's also, not to sort of interrupt, but
how
like,
dare you?
Yeah. But you know where that's gonna hurt, dude. So where that's gonna hurt working artists? Where that's gonna hurt working artists? It's in places like advertising, right? So,
yeah,
you know,
true.
That multi-billion dollar corporation isn't going to hire an artist for that ad campaign.
Yeah.
They're just going to have AI do it, and then it takes that money away. Like, that's the kind of work that an artist would do so that they can support continuing to be an artist.
Yeah.
And AI is going to take that away, not to mention all the copyright infringement stuff. Got to give it to Lars Ulrich. He was on the bleeding edge with Napster.
That's one of the few things I got to give it to him for. But
absolutely, man.
Well, he was a great drummer up to a certain point. You know,
well, Metallica was a band for 4 albums, and then they became Metallica.
Well, I mean, he was actually a real drummer back in the one point. You know,
I'd rather listen to AI Metallica that was only fed the first 4 albums than anything after the first
only
4
Saint
albums.
Only Saint Anger, man. Just feed it Saint Anger. That's
oh,
it.
God.
That's the only thing.
Well, maybe that is how we defeat AI. I don't know.
Man.
Yeah, so that's where it's going to hurt artists the most. Now, you know, backing up a little bit in terms of like where the line is, right?
As far as we mean like real art, is that what you mean? Or
yeah, so the person who, so you said that for Hatsune Miku, there's a person that writes the lyrics.
Yeah.
Do they also write the music, like come up with the chord progressions?
You know, I talked to my daughter about this, and she doesn't really know herself either. So I think it's kind of, someone's writing the music at this point. But I think, honestly, it's kind of a one-dimensional kind of music, so it would be very easy for the AI to take over doing that.
Right, but as it stands right now, the Hatsune Miku person is technically an artist.
Yes.
There's
a person
tools.
Behind that, yes.
Right, there's a person behind it, right? And, you know... So the other thing that's tricky, I want people listening to understand the distinction. Not that they don't already, but it's, you know, food for thought, right? You know, neither one of us created the major scale.
Okay, that's totally different. There's a difference between having a tool that you're using and creating something from that tool. Then you're saying, okay, I'm taking something. It's the difference between me taking the riffs that Kirk Hammett wrote and reconfigure them and then calling them my own. That's totally different than the major scale, which is basically a blank slate that you can do whatever you want with. You know
so
I mean?
Where so then where is the line between like plagiarism and influence?
It's very fine, but I don't think AI is plagiarism or influence. AI is just taking, it's just straight up ripping off. It's just like taking, it's like if I took the riff to Inner Sandman and mixed it with the riff to Symphony of Destruction, and then I mixed in like Back in Black, and I said, this is my riff. It's like, well, clearly it isn't, because you just took this from this other thing. You know what I mean?
You know, AI music would not, or AI art would not be the direct result of human inspiration.
No, and that's why I was saying about art's different than other things. Art is about a human connection. It's about human experience and human emotion being expressed.
Yep.
In whatever art form it might be, whether it's visual yep. art, whether it's acting, whether it's stage plays. I mean, the one place that musicians and actors have that's a saving grace is live performance. Will never be, well, who knows? Maybe eventually the hologram.
There's a hologram of Ronnie James Dio.
Well, the hologram from Hatsune Miku. That's a concert.
I've seen that. Honestly, I think it's kind of impressive.
It is, but it's not an artist.
Because at least Hatsune Miku is an anime character. Mm. It would be creepy if it were Ronnie James Dio, because he was a human being.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they did that, and they're going to keep doing that, I'm sure.
Right.
But it's one of those things that I look at, and I just think, like, the live performance thing, if you're a comedian, if you're an actor, if you're a musician, you can at least perform live and draw an audience that way. That's something that can't be outsourced, you know what I mean? But anything in recorded music, anything in television, movies, streaming, visual arts, that's something it's just a matter of not if, it's when it's going to be replaced by AI. You know what I mean? And then that's not going to ever fully replace the human side of it. There will always be that. There's always going to be like a niche for that.
Well, I mean, so here's something sinister, right? So the AIs, again, have to be fed with, you know,
the souls of the damned.
Oh God, no shit, man. So the, you know, here's where it's really sinister. The AI it has to be trained on, you know, literature or music or visual arts or whatever, right? So the product you're getting, it's still ultimately the product of human inspiration, but there's an intermediary in between that funnels all the money to someone who wasn't the original creator.
Yeah.
And that's also the super sinister
aspect.
That leads
us back to Elysium. You know?
Right. Exactly. It all funnels it up to Jodie Foster floating in
space
orbit.
Space station in a right. perfect world where they don't age or have sickness and stuff
right.
like that. Yeah, I mean, that's...
But down here you get a cool exosuit if you're Ben Affleck.
I guess. You know, or if you're Tom Hardy, depending on which version of the post-apocalyptic future you want to see.
Right. Yes, or even worse, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, exactly. Well, those are cool movies back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, we've got to do.
By the way, we're talking about Mad Max. And when he's like shaking their head, like, "Well, you mean like right. Lethal Weapon?" Well, those were good movies too.
Mad Max, Tina Turner.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Beyond Thunderdome. And
yes.
Then there was the Mad Max. There was the Road Warrior. Then there's the Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And then yep. the more recent iterations, we got Mad Max Fury Road and Mad Max Furiosa.
Furiosa
right?
is the prequel to. Yeah. And you know, luckily, I haven't seen Fury Road yet.
I heard it's great, actually.
It's great, too. You know, every now and then a major film that I would enjoy just sort of slips through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them. But now I've waited so long, I can watch the prequel first. And then I can feel like it has a sequel.
Yeah, that's true.
Great, because I'm so sick of prequels.
Yeah, that's true. Well, hey, good news, man. The Garfield movie's coming out, so... You're all over that, right?
I loved Garfield.
Garfield is a lasagna-loving cat. You gotta.
I loved Garfield when I was 11.
You know what? I feel that same way about professional wrestling. Like, I've heard people talking about professional wrestling, like grown men. I'm like going,
yeah.
When you're 12, then that makes sense. But if you're like 40 and you're talking about professional wrestling,
totally.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all. You know what I mean?
Now,
no offense.
There's a series on Vice Channel called Dark Side of the Ring where they get, hour-long documentaries on various various famous wrestlers.
You mean
wrestlers.
To tell me there's a downside to professional wrestling?
Yeah, well,
the dark side.
So I've been binging it, right? I just started the episode on Bam Bam Bigelow.
I don't have any memory of this.
I just got done with the episode on Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Right. Well, so these are all wrestlers that were big in the 80s, and I'm asking myself, why am I doing the deep dive on Dark Side of the Ring? And you know, the reason is that the documentaries all take place when there was still the policy of kayfabe.
I don't know what that is.
So kayfabe is a word that was just made up in the wrestling community to illustrate how, like, don't let anyone know it's fake.
Oh, okay.
We have to keep up kayfabe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like an insider word about, you know, we can never admit to the general public this is fake.
Did Mean Gene Okerlund know about this?
He did.
Oh, no.
I know.
It goes all the way
to
the top.
See, he was mean. He lied to us. Yeah, so the only reason it's compelling, I mean, the main reason it's compelling, because otherwise it's just people who got famous and fucked up their lives.
Yeah.
And there's nothing compelling about that. But what's compelling is how they went about their lives while there was still just this thin veneer Like, where they just weren't admitting it was fake. I mean, anybody with half of two brain cells to rub together would know it was
this
fake.
This guy got hit in the face with a forearm, and yet there's no blood or bruises.
Right.
On, so, yeah.
So I find that compelling.
I find it compelling that grown men would still be passionate about professional wrestling. That's something I find. Like, when I was 12, I can remember, like, yeah, Hulk Hogan's awesome.
The big boss man.
Yeah.
Dude, Ultimate Warrior, dude. He was
man,
super
Randy
metal.
Savage, you know
man,
what I mean?
Man, I had a poster. I saw the Ultimate Warrior at Arco Arena. In, like, 1988 or
but
something.
But that's what I'm
like
saying. Like,
that,
when you're
yeah.
a kid, that makes sense. But, like, like, the idea of being, like, a man in his 40s who still paid close, you know, WrestleMania is coming up. Like, what? Who the hell? You're a grown man.
Yeah, that blows my mind.
That's
dude.
Weird
there's,
to me. It's
you
like,
know, there's a sports talk channel that I like to listen to, and I really, really like the hosts. But, God, and I listen to it for, like, Kings news and draft.
Yeah.
You know, I follow the Kings.
Because we're Sacramento Kings fans, and the best place to get Kings stuff is in Sacramento.
Damn straight, right? Yep. So there's this one particular radio show I like to listen to, but God damn it if they don't talk about wrestling.
Yeah, I know.
I hate the
really
inconvenience
weird
of having
to
change the channel when they get on the
even
wrestling.
Even, like, on
I'm
ESPN,
so
they'll talk about that and stuff. Like,
this is the ESPN sports
well, no,
like radio
the,
station.
Well, no,
yeah.
Connecticut, like, the corporate ESPN will have them talk about, like, wrestling. It's like, going, what the hell? Is happening here? Like, am I missing
dude,
something?
I know.
Like, how is it that Madison Square Garden gets sold out by wrestling events?
I'm telling you. But you know what? I can at least say that professional wrestling is an art form.
It is.
And AI is not.
To me, it's a form of theater, really, at the end of the
day.
Yeah,
totally.
You know,
well, South Park has a whole episode about it. It's hilarious.
But in the sense that, you know, it's you know, it's not real, and people at different should just know that, you know, I don't know, it's weird. AI, though, I don't know. I know it's inevitable, and I know it's going to put a lot of people out of work and stuff like that, but at the same time, I kind of feel like we're still too early in the stages to see what exactly is going to happen with it. It's entirely possible that in the arts thing, it might blow up right in their face. You know what I mean? But that being said, that's up to us. It's up to the people. Like, there's nothing. No one's going to do anything that doesn't make them rich.
Well, see,
so
that's
if you don't support AI,
I feel like we're doomed.
If you don't support AI, then you're not going to have anything to worry about. You know,
it's definitely going to further take away... Yeah, remember when we were at NAMM a few years ago?
Yeah.
And we were talking about working in music. And, you know, when we were growing up, the guy at the guitar shop would be, like, teaching lessons until his band got signed. And then, right, like,
on the road.
Like Jeff Watson from Night Ranger working at Sunrise Music and Guitar Player when I was a kid, right? You know, that he was just working there teaching until Night Ranger got signed, and then he's off and running, right?
Yep.
Like, that was very,
or
very
another
common.
Opportunity came up.
Right.
Yeah.
That was very common. These days, we're at the top of the pile, man.
Well, I don't know about that.
You know?
I mean, people who are, like, international touring artists are at the top of the pile.
True.
We're definitely, like, you know, people... But even, like, people...
We're higher on the pile.
People who are in second-tier bands, people who are, like, playing clubs and stuff like that, that touring lifestyle is not very sustainable,
right?
Financially or otherwise.
Less sustainable than before. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get a Budweiser endorsement.
A lot of those guys are getting back into the teaching game so that they don't have to do the travel and stuff. You know, so it's kind of it's kind of a back and forth kind of thing. You know, sort of like my buddy Dave's touring with Firewind right now in his band Edge of Paradise. But that's
good
not
for
the
Dave.
Kind of thing that they're going to be able to, like, go do that for the next, because the money is just not there to, like, work in the next 6 months.
Right.
Tour. You have to, like, tour for a bit and come back and then do this and
Dave Bates, who's been on our podcast,
on our
I'd
show.
Recommend everyone go
Edge
back.
Edge of Paradise, great band.
Yep.
Check it out. Yep, they're touring with Firewind right now on the East Coast.
Yep.
Who knows when this is going to... Actually, no, that's right, because we're going to be almost in real time now. So,
yeah, we're in real time, everybody. Yeah. Welcome to our first real-time episode of Rock Guitar Confidential with
Scott
and Ryan.
So that means... not that the other ones weren't real time. I don't know what we're talking about. We actually existed in a quantum place between time before, and now we've actually come into the
real
time.
You're saying we existed in the land before time?
Exactly.
Like, with the baby dinosaurs.
They were so adorable.
Yeah, see, I've got some children's
that's
programming chops.
It's true.
From when I was a child.
I've said this
after
before.
That,
I've said
not
this before
so much.
On our... Yeah, we're not talking about Louis Short Studs. We would have all the children's programming and stuff.
Well, but, I was a teenager.
But, like, dude, it's not an easy thing getting into art. And it's even more so. It's funny. I actually just saw a report yesterday talking about people with master's degrees and advanced degrees and how very often it's not worth it to get a master's degree because your ROI, or return on investment, is not that good. You're actually more better off getting a bachelor's degree than getting a master's degree. And one of the first things they said about the people who have master's degrees, like the one that's the worst in terms of return on investment, is arts degrees. anything in the arts.
Oof.
And it's like, of course, because why would you spend $100,000 on an arts degree that's, say, for, like, I don't know, art history or something like that, when there's almost impossible, it's almost like a $20 million J-Lo album, it's almost impossible to ever make anything back that's going to be close to what you just spent on that, because of just the how much art is devalued, all forms of art.
So, you know? How many elite artists, you know, not just musicians, but how many elite artists are going to be, you know, snuffed out because of that phenomenon?
Tons. Only people who are able to find a way to make a living somehow or another. I mean, think about it. Back in the Renaissance times, the great artists like Michelangelo's and Leonardo da Vinci's were basically pets of the monarchy.
Right.
I mean, they're just like kept in the mansion and paint me stuff because amuse me, little man. That kind of thing by the
dude. I hear da Vinci got like 3 cans of wet food a day.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That was what arts were. That was supported by either the church or by the aristocrats or monarchy.
They were all intermingled.
Exactly.
Right?
So, but that's what it was. And then eventually, once we actually had an industry that you could make a living doing art, it really thrived. My big fear is that maybe we grew up at the very end stages of that. When we didn't know that was the end stages of that, but that might have been the very end stages of people being able to make a living as artists.
Like, I think we're at the tail end of that.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. And then I look at that and I think, holy shit, like, I can't believe it. I thank God I'm able to make a living with my guitar.
That's right. But you and me both, man. Yeah, it's a very special thing. And, you know.
But I don't think that's going to be an option for future generations, you know, in the next 30, 40 years. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's tough. Everybody don't jump out windows. It's going to be fine.
We're here now. It's just your kids and your kids' kids who are fucked.
Yeah, well, even
knows? Don't worry about it.
By then, the robot uprising might have happened already, and we might be living on far-flung parts of the solar system on moons and
hey, you know what?
Fighting for subsistence with each other.
Hopefully...
There's hope for that.
hopefully AI advances to the point where we get, you know, replicators like in Star Trek and holodecks. And then the economy is just entirely eliminated, and then everybody can just like holodeck or replicate. Yeah, we won't need money
anymore.
That's
the Elon Musk vision of the future, which is everyone's on universal basic income. And
dude, that's the Star Trek vision, right? Yep. Like if you like Captain Picard talking about how mankind finally evolved to where they didn't need an economy.
Yeah,
technology is finally where we can have all of our needs and wants met, and then it'll come full circle, and everyone can just stay home all day and learn guitar.
That's true. Maybe
right.
Maybe
we'll see that. So the guitarists of,
2357.
I was gonna say like 3024.
Yeah. Well, that'd be concurrent with the next generation timeline, right?
So, well, yeah. That's what I was shooting for. But yeah. I mean, we'll be annihilated by nuclear warfare before then.
But more likely asteroids will take us out.
One or the other.
Yeah.
Or maybe like an asteroid like filled with nuclear warheads.
Yeah, sent by Dr. Evil or something.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We're like an AI right now. We're actually writing a movie script as we're doing this.
I think we are. That means, in an infinite number of, in an infinite universe, there's a planet that's populated with only Post Malones.
Yeah, oh my God, what a horrible
place. Can you believe
it? Oh my God, Planet of the Post Malones, jeez. You did it. You
Rise
damn dirty, whatever
Post
it is
Malones.
That you do. I don't really understand what you do.
You damn
get your damn
Post
hands
Malone.
Off me, whatever you are. Now, the one place I support AI, though, I have to say, is like my Waze app or something like that. I'd love to have, like, you could just program, okay, I want it to sound like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. Or I want it to sound like, whatever it is. Like, picture whoever it is. I want, James Earl Jones, doing this one or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Like, that'd be awesome. Like,
well, and there's two places where I think AI is going to be excellent. And that, well, there's, I mean, one place more broadly.
This is above and beyond the sex bot. That's a given.
Well,
that's
okay, this is kind of an adjacent industry. I was going to talk about the medical field.
Oh.
Right.
Wait, sex bots are adjacent to the medical field.
Well, you go see your therapist, and they're like, okay, you're bummed. Here, have a sex bot. That could be a viable
like
treatment. Tic-tacs.
It's like a bowl of M&M's on the top. And I can't
right, here, take here. A sex bot.
Exactly.
Go, call me in like a month.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. So it could, in the world of psychiatry, here's a prescription for your sex bot.
Oh, my God.
And then you go to Walgreens.
And you pick up with the one
right, totally,
behind the glass or whatever. You have to
it's just like next to the frozen pizza.
Which one are you here for? I want the slutty Russian one with black hair. Like, what? Can't hear you, sir. You're looking for what?
Oh, you're here for Svetlana 5000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, exactly. Got it. This one comes with
I want illiterate country girl with a hat cowboy.
Oh, well, you just have to go to Bakersfield
that's
for
Joe
one of those. Dude, just go to Fresno or Bakersfield.
Is that the closest one for an illiterate school girl?
No, probably Fresno. Well, okay, there's... anyway, I could go... There's a few other places in the Central Valley that probably...
Lodi. Well, yeah. Illiterate country girls all over the place. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they won't need to make any for that one. The United States has plenty. Just go to a Jason Aldean concert.
I've completely lost what I mean, what we're talking about anymore.
Like, so we're talking about where AI can be positive, and I think the medical field, like not including sex bots, but like outside of the benefits of sex bots.
The obvious health benefits, yes.
Yeah, so there's a company called Recursion Pharmaceutical that uses AI to develop novel like medicines and stuff.
Oh, yeah, because they could be running 24/7 all the time.
Like doing mock trials and all kinds of shit. And then the other is Intuitive Surgical, and they make the Da Vinci medical machine. You know, my dad had a procedure this last year to remove part of his lung. He's doing much better now.
Yep, could you hear that? Absolutely.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. A little serious here for a moment, but he's doing fine. So that operation, like when I first read about how the operation goes, it's like crack your chest bone, open your ribs up, and it's very invasive,
like a
right?
King Diamond song or something.
Yeah totally. Yeah. It sounded like a Cannibal Corpse album cover.
Yeah.
Right? And the recovery's fucking horrible. And, you know, my dad's 80, so I was like, fuck, right? Anyway, but they use the Da Vinci medical robot, which is, you know how arthroscopic surgery is minimally invasive?
Yeah.
Well, so same thing. This is minimally invasive, right? It's so the doctor, like, gets into, like, a pod, right? Like, it's like he's playing, like, G-Lock at the, like, arcade. Do you guys remember that? G-Lock?
He's got a little ball with a pizza grease on it and stuff, right?
Right, well, so the surgeon could just, like, snack on some Za while, like, using the joystick.
Like, there's a little ball, you know, right. Like Centipede.
Remember G-Lock? G-Lock was the one where you're flying an F-14 like Top Gun.
Yeah.
But the whole thing moved and rotated. Oh, it was the best
ever. There's a Star Wars one like that too. Same thing. Yeah.
Star Wars. Anyway,
which
so.
Which is the greatest thing that's ever happened in humanity. But,
if you're six. But.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
I dare.
All right, fine.
So, they used the Da Vinci surgical robot on him, and his recovery was really fast. Like, wow. I'm shocked.
Is it AI driven though?
So AI is involved, and future models will have AI incorporated.
So just trying to minimize human error, sort of.
Yeah, it minimizes human error, and you know what I mean. Yeah, so they're integrating AI into all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it already probably is to a degree, but I bought 2 shares of Intuitive Surgical last week.
That's really smart, man.
Save my dad's life, and I'll buy shares of your company. Exactly. That's how
that's the way it works in the Bo household.
That's
save someone's life, he's going to buy shares in your company.
Damn straight.
You know, that's also good that they have that, because like once the robots take us to the processing facility to be murdered, they can disassemble our bodies in the most efficient way, because they already have all the AI experience.
So I'm just throwing this out there, you know, if a sex bot saves my dad from a burning building.
There's a ring in it for you, too.
That's right.
Yes, you got it.
You've got a customer for life.
Exactly.
AI is not terrible.
Yeah, I think there's like anything else, like fire or the wheel, there's positives and negatives to it. You know what I mean?
And, of course, it's going to get used by the military to murder people. Yeah.
So is it fire and the wheel, speaking of which. You know,
if you want to. Okay, so if you, so. So remember during the Waco thing, the FBI or the ATF, they started blasting Twisted Sister albums like really loudly at the Branch Davidians.
Okay, sure.
Which is kind of stupid because David Koresh was a metal guy. Yeah, he wrote his own like culty metal stuff, right? It's like a psyop, right?
Yep.
Well, so okay, imagine if Ukraine blasted AI-generated Post Malone at the Russian forces.
Yeah, that's a war crime, though.
Could be a game changer. I don't know why that isn't,
because that's against the international conventions. We're not going to do that to each other. There's lines, man.
It's against the Geneva Convention.
You can napalm and cluster bomb people, but you cannot do that.
You couldn't AI Pearl Jam
even in
at the
war,
Russian forces.
There's lines you don't cross.
There's already the AI Nirvana song. So you could just blast the AI Nirvana song. song.
It's actually arguable that AI Nirvana song might actually be better than the real Nirvana song. So
well, it doesn't require. Okay, so you could blast real Nirvana songs.
Yeah, that'd be the worst.
At
possible.
The Russian forces, that would be the worst possible thing. I'm going to contact my congressman.
Yep, exactly.
Yep, got to run out the flagpole.
I'm pretty sure the congressman we have is not that great of a congressman, so I don't know that he's going to help us with any of that stuff.
Well, wait a second. We might not have the same congressman.
That's true. I'm in Placer County. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so you're right. Yours isn't the greatest congressman.
He's not. He's terrible.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, not that I know who it is or anything, but it's like, anyway, we got to wrap it up, man. So on that happy note, politics and AI destruction and all that stuff. Happy to have you here. Thank you. Make sure to do fan mail us because now you can do that sort of thing.
Yes, lots of rich topics for conversation.
Please
if you
make
want
sure to
get on the AI debate.
Rate, subscribe, and review this podcast. And make sure to follow us on social media. It's going to be, go to our band website at xagisband.com.
That's www.xagisband.com.
And you can find our links to social media on both Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or X on that. If you want to follow us there, that'd be great as well. And keep up on all the stuff that's going down with our amazing lives that are so intricate and exciting and all that stuff.
I'm actually going to generate an AI life.
There you go, exactly.
And then people can just follow my AI exploit.
Like SimCity,
my AI,
like a version of SimCity, basically.
The metaverse.
Exactly.
Yes.
Anyway, guys, thanks so much for listening. Catch you next week. Peace.